word.
But first, do humans and animals react to risk differently? Charlotte Stoddart took the chance to find out.
Buying insurance is an example of risk-averse behaviour. We're protecting ourselves against an unlikely but unwanted outcome. But when we play the lottery, we're risk-seeking. We buy a ticket even though there's an extremely small probability we'll win the jackpot. A team of scientists in Israel have been looking into this kind of behaviour and trying to figure out why risk experiments on people and animals give conflicting results. They show that how human subjects and honeybees respond to risky decision-making depends on how the information is presented. Here's team member Ido Erev.
Most studies of human decision-making focus on decision from description. In typical studies, subjects are basically said, what do you prefer, $9 with certainty or $10 with probability 0.90 otherwise? Okay, so the problem is described towards the subject, and the main result of this study is that people exhibit high sensitivity to the rare event. So in this example, they prefer the 9 with certainty. So in this case, they behave as if they are risk-averse. In decision from experience, the subjects are not told what the gambles are. In a typical experiment, they see a computer screen with two unmarked keys, and they have to select between the two prospects. One prospect, for example, gives them 9 every time they select it, and the other one gives them 10 in 90% of the time and 0 in the remaining 10%. And here we get the reverse pattern. Now they tend to prefer the gamble that gives 10 90% of the time.
Now, before your study, people had looked at decision-making from experience, both in humans and in other animals, but the results were conflicting.
Yes. In our studies, we found that when people have to rely on experience, they underweight rare events. And in some cases, they exhibit risk-seeking. On the other hand, the previous research on animal choice behavior appeared to suggest that animals are risk-averse. So the question was why experience appeared to have different effect on human and on animal.
And you hypothesized then that these conflicting results were due to different experimental conditions. So could you start off by explaining the setup of the original experiment done on humans?
Well, the typical experiment with humans, the outcome are numbers. So you have two unmarked keys on the computer screen, but each time you select one, you get a payoff, which is a number.
But in the new experiments that you've done, the payout wasn't represented as numbers, it was represented as red dots instead.
Exactly. We hypothesized that maybe the apparent difference between human and animal may be related to the precision of the outcome. So in a typical experiment with animal, they get food as a reward. And we thought maybe it's hard for the animal to discriminate between 9 cups of sweet water or 10 cups. And maybe for that reason, they don't exhibit the same behavior and basically prefer the 9 with certainty because it's hard for them to discriminate between the 9 and the 10, but they can discriminate between the 9 and the 0. To test this hypothesis, we run an experiment with humans in which we did not present the outcome numerically, but we showed them a number of dots, and each dot was worth some points. So it was either 30 dots or 40 dots. On a computer screen, it was hard to discriminate, and now we find people behave like animal and always behave as if they are risk-averse.
Do you have any idea what's going on in the brain when we make this choice between a more certain payout or the more risky option?
Well, our hypothesis that in this situation, people and animal has to rely on their experience. So they behave as if they recall a small set of experience in similar situations, and then select the alternative that gave better outcome in those similar situations. So it's a very reasonable model, but it can lead to deviation from optimal choice. And the deviation occurs because in a small set of samples, rare events are less likely to occur.
What does this tell us then about real life?
Well, I think the one interesting implication is about the value of enforcing safety rules. So basically, our results suggest that when people think about, you know, safety devices, whether they should behave safely or drive safely, they actually want to behave safely. When they plan, they make decisions basically based on description. So they think about it and they buy safety devices. However, in ongoing decision, when they have little time to think about the possible outcome, then they behave as if they rely on small samples. And in small samples, this rare negative outcome, like accidents, are less likely to be considered, and then they take too much risk. So one implication of that, which we have implemented in intervention studies in factories, is that you really have to enforce safety rules.
Ido Erev, currently on sabbatical at Harvard University, talking to Charlotte.